Screen Diva's Heart Wildlife. Who can resist all those videos and images of adorable baby animals? But sometimes these adorable creatures really need our help. Let's celebrate wild animals, learn about them, and do what we can to help them. Well, it's been a while since we've had any new wildlife, Green Diva's Wildlife segments, Green Diva's Heart Wildlife, because we do. And especially, it's been a while since we've spoken to Lori Ann Bird, who is the Environmental Health Director at the Center for Biological Diversity. And she has been with us before, and I think she's got some interesting, well, important stuff to talk about today. Hi, Lori Ann.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And, you know, I was looking at my notes for this and I thought, oh, bummer. But of course, the EPA apparently is not really taking endangered species into consideration when registering new pesticides, which sadly is sort of like a, well, of course, it seems logical, but it's not good. It's logical for the EPA the way they've been doing things is what I'm trying to say. It's not logical for those of us that care about endangered species. So,
or the law.
Yeah, right. So tell us. Tell us what's going on with this.
Well, the EPA's pesticide registration program is a deeply flawed program that some people will say is more akin to a rubber stamping than a rigorous scrutiny. But basically, EPA is very efficient in very expeditiously approving the registration of new pesticides. And in doing so, they do have a number of things that they must consider under our federal pesticide regulations. But in that, they also have a responsibility to consider the impacts of pesticides on threatened and endangered species. Anytime a federal agency takes any action that might affect threatened or endangered species, it has to go through an analysis and consider those effects.
Okay.
EPA, when doing their separate analysis of whether or not they should register a new pesticide, will identify levels of concern of the pesticides and determine how toxic it may or may not be to different classes of species, so vertebrates,
okay,
things like that. And it will very frequently, in these analyses, identify very high risks to different types of species. And then it will say, okay, and that, you know, that's fine, and move on and say this should be registered.
Really? It's really like these species are expendable.
Yeah, so they'll recognize that there's a risk, but then, you know, once that risk has been recognized, there's a mechanism. In our country, we have said, you know, we will not allow species to go extinct under our watch, which is why we have the Endangered Species Act, which is 99% effective at preventing extinction if a species is protected under it. And so under the Endangered Species Act, when an agency is going to take an action, it has to consider the impacts of that action on threatened or endangered species. And EPA here is recognizing, oh, yeah, there's an effect, and then they're not going through that process to make sure that our nation's most vulnerable and imperiled species are going to be spared from extinction. And when we raise this in comments, which we always do, they say, ah, yes, that's true, but we have other priorities. But as we all know, that's not how the law works. You know, you don't get to run a red light and say, yeah, no, I know you're supposed to stop at a red light, but I have other stuff going on.
So other priorities.
I'll probably stop at a red light in the future,
yeah,
but not right now. No.
Not today. So what, I mean, what's running through my head is obviously the chemical or whatever industry and lobbyists are obviously infiltrating the FDA. I don't know.
So EPA certainly.
I mean, EPA, sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe the FDA, too.
There are major issues at FDA, too. We can talk about those another time.
Yeah.
There are really major issues with how this is happening, but we expect that the chemical industry is going to aggressively pursue registration of their product. We also simultaneously should be able to expect that pesticide regulators are going to make sure that the law is upheld and that species are,
yeah,
the impacts to species are looked at. And that's not been happening.
Okay.
So we've been left with no choice but to sue. So we have 5 lawsuits active on new pesticide registrations now, kind of running the gamut of different kinds of pesticides. We have 2 insecticides, we have an herbicide, a fungicide, and 1, Cupris iodide, is actually an antimicrobial pesticide, which it's based on in copper, which everyone knows is incredibly toxic to fish. It basically kills their, olfactory sense.
Oh.
And so if a predator is coming, they won't do anything about it.
Oh.
And EPA approved this, so we can treat our socks with it, so we can go up to 10 days without washing our socks.
Oh, come on, really?
at the expense of, you know, potentially driving salmon closer to extinction.
Oh, no, not the salmon. They're really taking a hit these last couple of years, aren't they?
They really are, and we as a society have decided they're worth saving, and we've poured billions of dollars into salmon recovery, and there are some really great recovery efforts happening. And then, you know, EPA goes and approves this antimicrobial, anti-stinky sock agent.
Get a grip, people. Wash your socks.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Oh, my God. So it's probably important also to let people know, because you are an attorney as well, and you work mm-hmm. with scientists and attorneys who are, you know, stepping up the game here with what the lawsuits are interesting. Is the lawsuit from the Center for Biological Diversity or another entity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're on all 5. We have some allies on some of them. Some of them were on just by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Green Divas are with you. I don't know what we can do to help, but, you know, hopefully helping to get the word out so people understand.
Absolutely.
And what else can people do to support these endangered species that aren't being disregarded in this process?
Well, the best thing you can do in your own home is not to use pesticides.
Yes.
We have to come to terms with the fact that not every petal on every rose is going to be perfect, and we have to allow space for biological processes to happen. So if there are spots on your rose, maybe you decide that that's okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can look for natural pest control. You know,
right.
One of so many huge environmental consequences can be avoided by pretty simple mechanisms. Like, we all heard about the massive bumblebee kills that happened in a parking lot in Oregon.
Mm.
And that was a tree that was treated with bee-killing pesticides for aphids. You can also treat aphids with soapy water. You can treat aphids
ladybugs, right?
Ladybugs, absolutely. There are so many things you can do to treat aphids, but, you know, in this instance, we had 50,000 bumblebees die because the pesticide was used. And so by not using those kinds of pesticides, by not buying the antimicrobial socks, you can really help out.
And is there somewhere they can go, maybe your site, the Center for Biological Diversity, I'm not sure what the site is, to find out more?
Biologicaldiversity.org.
There
you
go.
And then under programs, you can go to our program and scroll down, and there's some resources there. But there are a lot of wonderful resources on how to avoid these ultra toxic chemicals. So I encourage people to just get out there and explore the wide world.
Thank you.
Explore your local resources. Absolutely. Master Gardeners clubs are a great place to learn about ways to avoid toxics.
I just want to go march down to my town hall and ask the town to make an ordinance to just stop. Not only, you know, ask our neighbors, because, like, I'm pretty careful, but my neighbor's using all kinds of chemicals. I don't even like mm-hmm. walking around there, and I walk my dog mm-hmm. by there every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my town to not use them on the town property in the parks. Please stop.
Absolutely.
So
we, in Portland, we have a strong pesticide-free parks initiative, but our parks are not 100% pesticide-free. And then earlier this year, we actually got the city Portland, Oregon. That's where I'm located.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We got the city to ban the bee-killing insecticides and neonicotinoids from
yes,
being used.
I did see
on
that.
City land, and that's been a nationwide push. So there are great things happening in some cities, but still a lot of work to do.
Well, I just visited your city for the first time in December,
oh.
and it was very, very rainy. But
yeah,
so I'll be back. I'll be back in the spring, maybe when it's not so rainy.
Yes, please come.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lorianne, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon about other issues to support our wildlife and have a healthier planet in general. Thanks so much, Lorianne.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Please visit thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about wildlife, nature, and a whole lot more.